We were on the road this month up north, and it was cool. It was nice and cool in June up in Connecticut and New York. It's our two services that we have every year. Is at Garner Correctional Institution in Newtown, Connecticut, and also at Mid-State Correctional Facility in Marcy, New York. These two facilities have been going to for 20 years. And praise God that the doors are open still to be able to preach the gospel. And God gave us a good trip up to see them. And we saw some precious souls trusting Christ as Lord and Savior. And I'm just this way. If they'll invite me to come, I'm coming. Amen. And that's the way an evangelist is going to be. But I got a special something about up in north about. See, they've got a full-time Muslim chaplain paid by the state of New York. They got a full-time Catholic chaplain paid by the state of New York. And they got a full-time Protestant chaplain paid by the state of New York. And the Protestant chaplain's the one that schedules me, and he's a nice enough guy. I mean, you know, he's someone you could have a lunch with. But he teases when he talks to me sometimes, calls me a literalist. Hey, I'm guilty. I'm guilty, amen? But I, what I mean by this is I want them to know the gospel, the truth of the gospel when we go. And that's why we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be in prison ministry. We got two new prisons, 2014, for us at least, two new ones. One in West Florida, Jackson Correctional Institution in Malone, Florida. Chaplain there scheduled us for four sets of meetings there, two services each time. That's not too far from Tallahassee. And then we have one close right around the corner from us at Columbia Correctional Institution Annex at Lake City, Florida. And this is about an hour away. And this facility here is maximum security. And they're not going to get out in 10 years. They're probably going to die there or be 30, 40 years there. But they need the Lord too. Chaplain had, when we reversed there, our first services there, he called for open chapel, which meant that anybody and everybody, if they wanted to come, they could. I mean, if they were a Muslim, they could come, or if they were a Catholic, they could come, or if they were a Jehovah's Witness, they could come. And praise God, they did, and we had a pretty good crowd. And I thank the Lord we could get back into that facility and have a chance to preach at Columbia. So thank you for your prayers. You've been a real help and a blessing. We have 17 facilities now. We do at least annual and sometimes mostly quarterly meetings at 21 when we count the work camps, which are attached to the prison and are a separate prison altogether from the main unit, but 17 chaplains that I deal with and that God's opened up doors with. And we're seeing the spiritual growth. I believe it's spiritual growth because I get to talk to these same ones, these same men, every time we see them. And they come in, you know, they come before the services, come after the services. It's like church in prison. So we get to talk to them, we get to fellowship some with them. And it looks like there's some spiritual growth amongst these men. Amen. I praise God for that because they're not all just where did Cain get his wife and those kind of questions. But they're actually some practical type, helpful type of counseling that they're looking for. So we praise the Lord for spiritual growth. Seeing that same group each time is good, too. I mean, you know, there's the old saying, well, Brother Jim, you got a captive audience. If they don't want to come, they don't have to come. They can stay in their cell. So we do praise God that they will come. And even if it's just for the entertainment, they're coming to hear the gospel. So we want to say praise God. And so prison's just the devil's boot camp. People are in prison because they've violated the laws. Some of them are very dangerous people. But they, praise God, when they trust Christ as their Lord and Savior, they get that new nature. It's a difference. Amen. Amen. Being Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so that is something that I appreciate that we're able to go and see happen. Amen. Lives change. Souls saved. And so prison ministry is a church on offense. Opportunity to go in there and let them know that Jesus is the only way of salvation, and thank God we see the response. We're living in a culture that is crumbling all around us. But praise God, the church, the Bible says, and Jesus said himself, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Prison ministry is a church on offense. Thank you for your prayers. Be sure to get the prayer card, and we'll just want to say once more, we love you and appreciate the privilege to come to report on the work. In 1 John, New Testament, 1 John chapter 4. I was trying to remember if I preached this one last year, and then if I did, Pastor wasn't here because he had a doctor's appointment. So, but I believe the Lord's led me here. 1 John chapter 4, and this is verse 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested in love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Lord, I pray that you bless the reading of your word, the preaching of the gospel, and Lord Jesus, that you bless God's people. Lord, meet every particular need there may be this evening as we consider, Lord, the touch of God for a need of an infirmity, the encouragement of God for one that's carrying the burdens. Lord God, we know that you're able to bring the backslider closer to you, to save the lost, that you're able, Lord God, to have your sweet will and way in every heart and life, and we ask that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible says, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And the Bible tells us that God is love, that God is love in verse 8. And folks, I don't profess to know everything about God's love. I surely couldn't say that I do. But I know that it is perfect and it is right. Amen. Because he is. Because he's perfect. Amen. And I'm going to make a point this evening that's going to maybe seem like it's a little too far over. But what I'm going to say is that he loved me, I believe, too much. Too much. And I'm just saying it from a man's perspective, because I know his love is perfect and his love is right. Amen. But when I think about how good God is and how he does love and how he loves me, I believe sometimes that he does love me too much, because I can see that he loved me. He loves me too much to make me work my way to heaven. Hallelujah. I am so glad to say tonight that I don't have to have a list of things that I must do and need to do and have to do in order to go to heaven. Woo! It's all done by the grace of God, by Jesus and his shed precious blood. He loved me too much to make me work my own way. I couldn't have done it anyway. Amen. It's all in him. It's all in him. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us about God's grace. His grace, that's unmerited favor. I mean, I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. It's unmerited. Glory to God. What he said on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. And I'm just wanting to say he loved me too much to make me work my way to heaven. Salvation is not in church membership. It's not in joining the lodge, and I'm going to be kind about that if I can, amen, but hey, it's not. What it is it's in Christ and him alone, amen. He loved me too much to make me work my way to heaven, and I believe this, he loves me too much to send me to hell without a warning. Hallelujah, amen. You say, Brother Jim, I don't see where you're getting at. I was in the military in 1970, 71, those years. Went to boot camp. Had a chance to come home as a kid, a 20-year-old kid from boot camp. I had $100 in my pocket. My dad let me borrow the car for the weekend. I lived in Texas at the time, just north of Dallas. And my intention, just as surely as I could say as much as I can about it, my intention was to go and party all weekend. Had that money, had the car, going downtown Dallas, going to party all weekend. So I got saved in 1986. I got saved at a rescue mission in Jacksonville, Florida. But then I was only 20. And I, driving that car down towards Dallas, I got my rear wheel caught up on the curb of this four-lane highway, and it snatched away from behind me and went around the backside on the other oncoming traffic. I could have died. I could have killed other people. And I want to say I thank God that he didn't take me to hell at that time. The car stayed flat. It didn't flip. I shook it off and said, "Whoo, whoo, whoo, wow, I'm alive." It's just the Lord. I believe it's just the Lord keeping me alive until I could hear the message of the gospel and be saved. He said, "Brother Jim, I don't know where that is. I'm just going to say that there's angels watching over some of us." Amen. And I thank God that they do. He loved me too much to send me to hell without a warning. But let me say that there is a burning fiery hell. And there is a rich man even there tonight that's begging for just one drop of water to be put on his tongue, because he's tormented in the flames of hell. And I want to say this, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight, this may be that warning for you. Amen. This just may be, but if you do have him as your Lord and Savior, give God the glory and praise him for your salvation. Amen. He loved you too much to send you to hell without a warning, and he loved you too much to refuse your faith in the blood of Christ. To refuse your faith in the blood of Christ. Look with me in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 in the New Testament. In verse 37. And the Bible says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Amen. Hallelujah for eternal security. Amen. Woo, praise God for that. Somebody might be thinking, "Well, Brother Jim, that's a scary verse. That's a scary verse." And I'm going to say, well, hey, I'm not scared of that, because I can see that the Holy Ghost draws the sinner to repentance. Amen. I can see that they're given by him. And God's not surprised. He's not a bit surprised when someone's saved, when they trust in Christ. Amen. I'm not afraid of it. The Bible tells us that God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, amen. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so, hey, I'm just praising God that he loved me too much to refuse my faith in the blood of Christ. I preach in prisons, and I want the men to understand the gospel. I want them to understand repentance, turning from sin to God. I want them to understand faith, trusting in Christ and in him alone. Amen. I want them to understand these things when we preach. And a lot of times those verses that come up so often are from Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. Amen. "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto salvation, but with the mouth man confesseth unto repentance." Amen. "Believeth unto repentance and confesseth unto salvation." Sorry, got turned around. Anyway, it's Romans chapter 9 and chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, the gospel. So I want them to know those verses. I want them to know that they have Jesus as our Lord and Savior when they trust in the blood. Trust in the blood. So those guys, I'm telling them this, and I'm telling you this evening, I don't necessarily say that you have to have a three-point calling upon the name of the Lord prayer. I don't. Trusting in the blood. Trusting in the blood. You say, Brother Jim, how can you say that? How can you know that? I can know it because there was an Ethiopian eunuch one day that was riding along from a camp meeting that was having in Jerusalem, had a copy of the scriptures, and he was reading in Isaiah, and then the deacon come up and jump in the chariot with him in Acts chapter number 8, and he preached unto him Jesus from the book of Isaiah. Amen. And they're going along in the chariot, and they see some water, and the eunuch asks Philip, he says, what hindereth me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. I don't see the 1, 2, 3 repeat after me. Right. I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying to say, amen, that he loves you too much to refuse your faith in the blood of Christ. Amen. If you're trusting in the blood, if you mean business with God, he means business with you. Amen. So he loves you too much let you suffer a heartache without a good reason. I like that. Because there's going to be some suffering from time to time. There's going to be some hardship from time to time. The Bible tells us that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there's going to be even some of that. But you got a promise. We got a promise. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And he loves you too much to let you suffer heartache without a good reason. I know from experience that heartache tenderizes my heart and helps me not to be quite so independent. I know that heartache draws me closer even to him. So it's a thing that I believe in his love. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wander why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. It could be that you'll not know till you get to heaven. It could be. Faithful till death, said our loving master. A few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through that beautiful gate. Folks, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. When I see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. I love you too much to make you suffer heartache without a good purpose, without a reason. And if that wasn't enough, he loves you too much to leave you in this life without the Word of God. Woo! Amen. I'm glad to have a Bible. I'm glad I got God's Word right here. God loves me too much to leave me here without it. Amen. And I've got a copy of the Scriptures. The Bible tells me that the Word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. We live in inner city. I gotta be nice. We live on the west side of Jacksonville, which is kind of close to inner city. So we got, you know, an older house and a chain link fence. You know, all the neighbors got chain link fences. And most of the neighbors got dogs in the yard. And the dogs, of course, if you're walking along a sidewalk and those there's a dog in the yard and you're walking along with chain link fences, now he's going to follow you and he's going to be barking that whole time. You're walking on your side of the fence, he's inside his yard and he's barking and yipping and following you. And if it's a little dog, there's one thing that dog really ought to know, is that fence is what keeps him from being kicked. If it weren't for the fence, it'd be, yeah, or if it was another dog out there, it'd be eaten. That fence is what that dog really needs. I need the corralling that word, the Bible, God's word, has for me. Keeps me from going too far here, too far there. Amen. Because I know what God wants, what he wants. Amen. So he loved me too much, he loved you too much to leave you without the word of God. And he loves you too much tonight to let you live in sin without chastisement. Scripture tells us, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That chastening hand of the Lord. He loves you too much to let you live in sin. My daddy never read Dr. Spock. I'm 65 now, but I can still remember one of my times up with Daddy in the belt. Amen. I mean, that man spanked me until he got tired. I needed it. I deserved it. He said it was going to hurt him more than it did me, and I just kept crying. We have a Heavenly Father. It may not be a spanking every time, but he's going to have the right chastisement if we get into too much sin. Amen. He loves you too much to let you go too far. Amen. And he loved you too much. He loved me and you. He loves us too much to lead you down the wrong path. To lead you down the wrong path. The Bible says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Then I'm going to say this, if you're on the wrong path, it wasn't him that led you there. Amen. Amen. He loves you too much. And then back in our text, and I'll be brief, but here in 1 John 4. Scripture says in verse 7, everyone that loveth is born of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God. There's something I'd like to share tonight that you'll find if you're noticing, if you're watching. You'll find that people that love God will be the best friends you'll ever have. People that love God. I didn't understand much about Christian people when I first got saved. I was 37. I'd already seen a ruined life. And in that little rescue mission where I got saved, I went out one night after curfew to buy some smokes and got my head busted and sent to the hospital. Had a recovery time in intensive care for quite an extension of time, 5 weeks. I didn't know anybody at the church. I was a mission guy. You know, they brought us in and they had us preached, and then we went and got on the bus. But somebody put my name on the prayer list, the Wednesday night prayer list, there at our church. And I was in that hospital, didn't know anybody, didn't really know a thing. I didn't know if I was going to live, but people I didn't know started coming by. And they started praying. I could hear them praying through the other side of the curtain in intensive care. You're going to find out that it's going to be the people that love God that are going to be the best friends that you ever have. Verse 9 shows us, "And this was manifested love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, so we might live through him." Scripture gives us one more gospel presentation here. The Bible tells us that the propitiation of our sin is through him. So herein is love. Thank you, Jesus, and praise God for that. There was a godly woman that told me in that rescue mission that I was going to hell. And that was just exactly the message I needed to hear. Because hell is a real place. She read Revelation 21:8 out of her testament to me. And I could see, looking into her eyes, and I could see the Holy Ghost was working on my life right then. That's true. That's the truth. Amen. And that's when I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior that very day. So I want to say this. I just want to say that God loves you too much. He loves you too much to make you work your way to heaven. He loves you too much to deny your faith in the blood of Christ. And praise God, he loves you too much to send you to hell without a reason. And he loves you so much. So much that he gave you his word. Amen. That you can have. Amen. There's a lot of opportunities we have to go into the prisons. God's even increasing our outreach this year. And I want to thank you, each one, for your prayers and your helpfulness in the ministry. And we just want to say that we love you. Amen. Father, do bless God's people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy and your love. And God, I pray that you would help us to be faithful, Lord God, in the calling that you've given us. And help us, Lord God, to get glory for you. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name.